Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph, Sad Perek Yud Aleph. We already saw at the end of the previous Perek, Vayasof Shlomo Rechev Ufarashim, and Vayitan HaMelech Ata Kesef, Ka'avanim, to continue now together with Ahav Nashim Nochriot. The beginning of the end we already saw coming. And it's fascinating because the fact is that there were two descriptions of what appeared to be the same thing. Back in the beginning, Perek Hey, before we had the beginning of the Beis HaMikdash construction, Perek Vav, it was also the description of the marriage of Bat Paro, and talking about the Nisus, talking about money, and it was all sort of part of the development of the building phase, 20-year building phase of Shlomo, which things were basically going uphill from what it appeared. We saw yesterday the height of that going uphill was the actual official tour, where Shlomo Melech gave a tour of what was essentially the magical kingdom, which everything was working. It was all Tikkun HaOlam. We came to see the money of Shlomo, the power of Shlomo, the Shulchan of Shlomo, same Shulchan that we had discussed earlier. Before we spoke about the Binyan Beit HaMikdash as being very positive things that impressed the entire world, that were astonishingly tikkun-oriented, and that weren't a contradiction. Here comes the turning point. The turning point is, V'amelach Shlomo ahav nashim nochriot rabot ve'et bat paro. And here again, even though she was one of the nochriot, as we saw before, the same thing by David HaMelech, Avdei David HaMelech was Tisha Asar Ish Va'asaya. Why do we list them separately? Or we list all of the cities, V'Yericho. Why do we list separately? So what are all the cities? So we see where there's something that is outstanding, that expresses more than the klal itself, the issue. The Torah mentions it separately. If we put together the three things that were mentioned from the close of yesterday's parak, V'yasof Shlomo Rechev Ufarashim, V'yitin HaMelech Ata Kesef B'Yerushalayim, and Motzei Susim, V'amelech Shlomo, Av Nashim Nochriot. We have the three issues that the Torah specifically said that a melech should not do. Don't be marbe susim, because you'll end up in Mitzrayim. And that's exactly what happened. But itzei merkava mi Mitzrayim b'shesh meot kesef. Don't be marbe kesef v'zahav, v'yitein ha-melech ata kesef kavanim. Don't be marbe nashim, v'amelech Shlomo ahav nashim nochriot. The irony of putting this in the same magical perek of the magic of Shlomo's throne that would play to him the pasuk back every day as he got up to his throne. Lo yarbelo nashim, lo yarbelo susim, lo yarbelo kesef, kesef v'zahav, lo yarbelo mo'od. It's an amazing thing. So that Shlomo HaMelech, as the Gemara tells us, relied on his chokhmah. He talks about this in Kohelet. He says, Ach chokhmati amdali. Well, maybe amdali for some time, but as he himself writes in Kohelet, Mikre Aksil, Mikre Chacham, Mikre Aksil afli ikreini, Lama Chachamti az yoter. What was the point of all of my chokhmah? So there's something about the way which Shlomo related to the world after his business phase, his building phase, in which we saw earlier that the days of Shlomo began, Rish Lakish said, really hot stuff. He was Malach al Yonim, Malach al Tachtanim. Then he came to me, Malach only on Tachtanim. Then it was Malach al Kolalam Kulayim, Nian is Malach only on Yisrael. And then Hayiti Malach B'Yerushalayim. And then the only thing that's left him, Zaya Chalkim Mikolam Alit. And we just had the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. One says, we know which, who says which. But Melach Vehediot. Melech had Yod v'melech, perhaps, major machlokas about whether Shlomo ended up doing teshuvah based on how he saw things going downhill, or whether it was all one long downhill. But we have over here a vision in Chazal of a change in Shlomo that's very similar to the way that the Zohar sees Esther's behavior, that it's possible for a person to be two different people. So when Esther went in to Ahasuerus, she was essentially a shade. And when Shlomo HaMelech became what he became, it was really Ashmedai that was in there, not Shlomo. And Shlomo would go from Beit HaKnesset to Beit HaKnesset claiming that he was Shlomo. This is a very graphic description of the changes in Shlomo HaMelech's psyche, and that, in a sense, the man on the throne was no longer the man in the Beit HaKnesset. Two completely different people. and he no longer was able to have the lightning strikes that were his from Givon and after the Binyan, where we saw Kadosh Baruch Hu pierced him with this other new lightning warning him about his being on a very tight wire and easy it is to fall off. And what was goring the falling off is the same thing that was goring the falling off lechatchila in the world. And therefore Shlomo HaMelech talks about it. Ish echad mielef matzati, isha b'cholela lo matzati, motzei ani mar mimavet et aisha, which we also just saw, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, not coincidentally. And that what destroyed him was his love of these women. Now the elements of these women, we have to understand what it means when it says ahav nashim nochriot rabot. He loved many foreign women and bat paro. Foreign women that included Moaviyot, Ammoniot, Adomiot, Sidoniot, Chitiot. You got every different nation that was around Yisrael. Minagoyim asher amar Adonai al bnei Yisrael lo tavo bem. Ve'im lo yavo b'chem. Achin yatu et levavchem achrei Eloheim. The very goyim that God warned bnei Yisrael, don't intermarry with them. Don't take their women. And don't give your children to them. For in the end, they will twist your hearts to go after their gods. It was them that Shlomo connected to love them. So when it says davak, that's the question. Does davak mean that he married them? Because usually the davak bishto is a way of speaking about marriage. So did he take these women, megayer them, and there was actual chitun with them? Or did he just sleep with them? What exactly is the love that we're talking about? So, okay, so in the Gemara, Rav Papa says he never married anybody. Never married into the Goyim. This was just about love. Because it doesn't say davak li'itchaten. It says davak li'ahava. Doesn't it say vayitchaten et bat paro? That was the way she was introduced to us. So how could you say he didn't marry them? Says the Gemara, mitoch ahava yitera. He was so much in love with her. So it was that type of commitment, but it was a commitment to love. Now the Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta says in the Medrash, that the idea over here was la'ahavan, was to make them love. Meaning to be makar of them, to be machlis them tachas kanfei hashchina, to be madbik them to Torah. We have to understand the issues. I mean, it says over here, as we're going to see, that lo hayalev avo shalem kilavav David aviv. I mean, a guy that's going around sleeping with all these goyish women, that's not the way to put it. That he wasn't quite kilavav David aviv, wasn't quite as pure as the heart of his father David. I mean, you're talking about outrageous. And you're saying it wasn't kilavav David aviv. So obviously the very pusk is being megala to us, that we're dealing with subtleties over here. We're not dealing with the issues, and the Torah is going to come down on him hard, the way it always does when it finds an underlying issue, which we've always, the model that we have for this is the children now of Eli, that the Torah considers them to be sleeping with the women, which is chas v'shalom, the most outrageous thing imaginable. The Torah is willing to say this because of the elements of sexual pleasure that are deep, deep in the psyche, from controlling a woman's karban. Same thing is true over here. We're talking about things that are deep in the psyche. And we need to understand that that's what the Torah was warning about. It wasn't. The way to have understood those psukim were the psukim. And the other Gemara points out, why indeed did the Torah not give out the reasons for mitzvahs? Well, here's an example of why. I'll tell you the reasons, and you'll say, I can handle that. But the point of those reasons is that you can handle only the most obvious of the issues. But the deeper subconscious levels that those issues mean, you're not even aware of. And therefore, you can't handle it. No matter what your level of chokhmah, the deeper secrets that are hidden in your psyche, you'll never be aimed on. And the Torah is not telling you what to look out for. The Torah is telling you the facts, the existential facts. And therefore, if now you want to ignore that and deal with what's open, so then I'm going to expose the deeper fact. And that's what this parak is about, exposure. But it's an exposure that no one would have themselves have a right to say. No one would have been able to expose themselves. So that's, therefore, when it says over here that he took these women, the truth is this is an unbelievable achievement, if you consider. These are the names of the very countries. Ammon, Edom, Sidon, Chittim, Moab, Mitzrayim, that David HaMelech had to fight. David HaMelech was the Ish Milchama. Shlomo was the Ish Shalom. Menucha, Ein Satan. Why do you think Ein Satan? Because he had built britot all over the world that were really built on love. It wasn't that. It wasn't that it was politics. It really was make love, not war. And therefore the Gemara is saying, if the Torah is made, that this is a love, it means that the breath of Shlomo, to be able to incorporate each and every one of these umays on the highest level, the level of the Malchus, so that he didn't just take women. He took women that sealed covenants with countries that had always been the absolute itnagdut to Klal Yisrael. Mitzrayim, there is no record of Mitzrayim ever making political marriages with the daughter of Pharaoh. Anyway, there's lots of records of the interrelationship between the various kingdoms that were always sealed with the daughter of the king. There's no such record in Mitzrayim. And therefore, Bat Paro is indeed a singular achievement in which Paro did his dirty work for him. We just saw Paro took over cities that Yisrael could, and then gave them as gifts. It's outstanding. The world power at the time is Mitzrayim. You understand what it means not to have to worry about Mitzrayim? That Mitzrayim is an ally? That's an ally not just because we have mutual interests, but because we're aligned, family alignment. And these are unbelievable achievements. And they're achievements that he sees as being the achievements of a Melech who is Shalom. That Shlomo Melech Shalom Shalom becomes one of the words for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if he really loves, it means that he has identified the aspects of these women that are able to be loved, which means that they're Shaykh to Klal Yisrael, parts of them that are able to relate to the nature of Yisrael. And this was the introduction that came Dafka through the Queen of Sheba. Why do we need that it should be a woman that should come and should be the one to take the tour? The one to be Me'idah L'dorot about the godless of Shlomo. It had to be a woman. Indeed, that's the point. That's what we're looking for. As we saw back in Shoftim, there needs to be a mother. There needs to be somebody who gets down to the bottom and touches the underlying meaning of Yisrael that can come to bring, and that Shim'i Bat, as the Gemara points out, you always speak to the daughter. So when Avram Avinu needed to be machnas to Yisrael, he went back to absorb the daughters. So there's the daughters of Lot, and there's the daughters of his family back that remained back in Aram, that he took for his children, grandchildren. This is where he sent for Nashim. Shoshim Ibat, Fishikriyat Amech, says the Pasuk. Forget the nation that you come from, and come and bring in all of the riches of your background and your culture. Bring it into Klal Yisrael. Where did Shlomo come from, for God's sake? He came from Benod Lot, came from Moab. So the whole idea of his coming from and where he's going to, he saw this as being the ultimate Yifator. It's not the point of war, is that in the end, war absorbs women, not money. And that is what he understood to be the essential process of bringing in the genes of the entire world. That's why it's called Kohelet, because he's makil, because he incorporates, he brings in. The essence of being a melech on kol ha'olam kulay is that in the end it brings, assimilates into Yisrael the genetics of the world as well as the production of the world, and the beauty of Africa and the riches of Tzur and so on and so forth. So this is part of a very clear-cut approach that he has to life, which is very different from David. It's always the opposite of David. But it goes hand in hand with the Beis HaMikdash. What was his feeling in the Beis HaMikdash? The Kol Ami. If anybody comes up here from anywhere in the world, give him whatever he wants. Let the world know what it is that this bayit is. For Yisrael, they can handle the details and the tough parts of life. But make it easy for the goyim. That's what he was trying to do. And he did indeed ease the way for the Ummah Sa'ilam to be part of Yisrael and to feel that they were connected to Yisrael. And ultimately, had he been successful, and he wanted to be, he was Bikesh Koheles, to really be Mashiach. That's why he wanted to end it all there, to bring an absolute Tikkun HaOlam. And this is what went on. But this is the Or HaChaim's approach. This is the Kabbalistic approach to the whole idea of Yifator. We find, that was the Foran. The same Gemaras that discuss the failings of Shlomo are the ones that discuss the Arba Meod Yiladim Kulam Bnei Yifator that David had, that these were the whole show that David had against Yomot Olam. This is not something that is so strange to us, even from Yomot David. There too, it landed up in problems. Kol Nosei Isha Yifator. So as a ben sorer amore, indeed that becomes the merit of Avshalom and so on. But these are visions of a tikkun ha'olam. Now, lemaisa, we know that the Nevi'im changed that vision. The Nevi'im ha'acharonim very much went out to change that vision. So what does Mashiach mean? Hine malkech v'yavolach. He's an ani v'rochev al chamor. Not a rich king, Mashiach. Is a poor man riding a donkey. And the very next pasuk says, V'chrati rechev me'afrayim. I'll get rid of the tanks. V'sus mi'Yerushalayim. No more susim. V'nichrata keshet milchama. So it's a complete change. So the Diber Shalom Lagoyim that he should have had should not have gone hand in hand with the power of temporal power. It should have been as David HaMelech. So what did David HaMelech do when he had Sussim and Rechab? Burned them up. He was Eiker to Sussim, just like the Tzivoy was at the time of Yehoshua. And the truth is, I mean, that we find even what appears to be a machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam and the Rambam in how to understand the din of Lo Yar Belo Sussim. The truth is the Ramban speaks, as he always does, more in terms of ultimates. So Rambam says, well, of course he's allowed to have, it's clear from the Gemara, he's allowed to have as many horses as he needs for war, and he can have enough to change horses in the middle of the battle, and so on. The Ramban says, well, he shouldn't have horses. What does he even have horses for? It's not the sus for milchama, sheker asus lechua. Barov chelo lo yamalit, a king is... Lo yinatzel barof koach. A king ain't a melech mashab barof koyo. A king is b'shem Hashem. That's what David said. David constantly. That was the story of Yonatan. What's the difference how many soldiers we have? What's the difference whether we have any weapons? Yonatan says, oh, I had them on my own. It's nafkamina, takarash rocha, whether it's this or that. That's the Ramban's approach, which, as Ramban himself explains, in many different places. And obviously it's a function of the individual. It's a function of the madrega that you're on. If you're on the correct madrega, you don't go to doctors. So that's why we find later on Darash L'Rofim is terrible. Obviously, you're mechuyav to be Darash L'Rofim if you're not on a madrega. The same thing is true of the melech. But this change in how do we view Mashiach occurs not only in terms of Mashiach. This idea, amazingly, Shlomo serves as a model for Nehemiah and Ezra. They come back to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in a very poor state. So at the time of Shlomo, they bedafka were unable to take these women in to be Geirim. They didn't accept Geirim at the time of Shlomo because there was too much good for us to believe that a person wanted to be Jewish because he accepts the matzav of Yisrael in the world. Things are good. It's easy to be Jewish. But when they came back, things were terrible. Nehemiah came back, and I mean, absolutely horrible. That's why he was crying. Nehemiah was crying to the king. What am I supposed to do? It's terrible news from Yerushalayim. They're in the worst possible state. And over there it says exactly the same thing. They took Banot, and he comes and he drags in everybody together, and he brings them, and he curses them, and he says, what the heck? This is exactly Alo Be'elech Ata Shlomo, Melech Yisrael. Buguim Arabim Loya Melech Kamo. There was nobody like him, and he was beloved to God. Ahuv Elohav. And he married these women, and Vayitnei Elohim Melech Alko Yisrael comes along, Ichtiu Nashim Nochriot. You think you're going to manage to handle these Nashim Nochriot? So he serves now as a model for the way in which even in the worst of times we have to settle. It has to be with a sense of our own separateness and not to believe that with wisdom you can handle anything. There's subconscious issues that in the end will not be handled. Vayilo Nashim Sarot Shvameot, and he had these noble women that were, he had 700 of them from the various umot. And including, and not only that, he had Pilakshim Shalosh Meot. And they were, in fact, Vayatu Nashavat Libo. The very thing that he said could never happen to me. Well, it happened to him. Vayila Eit Ziknat Shlomo. Shlomo never got old. I mean, what do we call him? Ziknat Shlomo. He wasn't very old. So apparently, Kofzalav Zikna. We've had a number of cases. Kofzalav Zikna. And we saw David, Kofzalav Zikna. That was, he was afraid. Nif'at from the Cherub. We had Mikas Banim, Kofzalav Zikna. By Eli. And the other case is, Mipnei Isha Ra'ah. Kofzalav Zikna. This is Araya. Whereas Mashain came by Avram Avinu, it was Hashem Birachat Avram Bako. It was no Kvitzav Zikta Adarab. It was Mavura, because he had Eishes Chayil. He always was spent, I mean, he wrote the poem, Eishes Chayil, the poem, right, in Mishlei. So he spent his life looking for that Eishes Chayil, which he didn't find. The Yisha Mikolei Lelo Matzat. And so it was that Elohaya Levavo Shalem Im Adonai Elohav Kilevav David Aviv. And therefore, what was the Hatayat Alayim, then he wasn't quite as clear and great as David Aviv. But anybody, points out the Gemara, anybody who thinks that the following psukim are meant to be taken literally, Kol Omer Shlomo Chata, Ino Elatoe, is obviously wrong. Because, I mean, for the pasuk to say, Lo Haya Shlem Ki David Aviv, but obviously he wasn't really Chote. So when it says, Vayilait Zignato, he too, that's coming to say, he too is the pshat, that he too, that he wasn't properly moche in them, control them, but not chas v'shalom, that he actually was personally chote. Nonetheless, says the pasuk, since he couldn't control them, vayelach shlomo acharei ashtoret Elohim tzidonim, acharei milkom shikutz amonim, vayah shlomo rabbi ne'adonai, v'lo milei acharei adonai kedavid avid. But it keeps stressing to us that it's bad, but chas v'shalom, it's ki'ilu chata, since he wasn't mocheh, and as Shmuel puts it, you know, Shlomo HaMelech would have been willing to become a shamish in a church for these psukim not to have been written. This itself is the worst possible thing. His whole life dedicated to making a Kiddush Hashem, and mitok shalom micha ben Hashem, is anybody who could have controlled someone else and who doesn't, it's ki'ilu, he was chayte, it's nikra al shmai, he's kerei as if he built it. Horrific. And therefore, az yivne shlomo bama, lichmo shikutz moav, a horrible thing to say. Bahar asher al pnei Yerushalayim, that the mountain we spoke about before, Har HaZeitim, where David would bow down now to the Orim, that he turned into a bama, because that's what his wife did. Ulamolech shikutz bnei Amon, v'chein hazalach ol nashav anochriot, and that's what he was to all of them. Didn't mean that he built it. They built it. They wanted to build it. Bikeshivnot v'lobana. And therefore, these, each one of them, who he allowed the freedom to act the way they wanted to act in their own home. Indeed, it stresses again. They were maktirot, but they weren't. It wasn't that he himself. And Hashem was angry against him. Twice in his life he had been zeicha to see the light. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him himself. And therefore, v'tzivayilav al hadavar hazeh, and it was dafka this that he had warned him about. L'vilti lechet acharei Elohim acherim, v'lo shamaret et sher tziva Adonai. And he wasn't careful enough, despite the fact that he had been warned. V'yomer Adonai l'shlomo, yan haita zot imach, because this, what is this? This refers to Torah. V'zot ha-Torah. So since this Zot was with you, because it was, as we said, you had that Torah with you. You read it all the days of your life, and you didn't. Lo shamarta briti v'chukotai asher tzivita alecha, koroa ekra tamam lacha me'alecha. I will rip, same words that we used to Shaul, I will rip, tear into pieces the mamlacha from off of you. But as opposed to Shaul, where he says, over here it's only I will give it to your servant, so he will remain a servant. He will not take away the malchut. But not in your lifetime. Leman David avicha, because I promised your father that you will be a melech. Only miyad bimcha ekra'ena. Only from the third generation. From your child I will tear it, and I won't tear the whole thing. Because again, I spoke to your father. I will allow your child to be king on one of the Shvatim. Leman David Avdi, Leman Yerushalayim Asher Bacharti, for the sake of my servant David and Yerushalayim, which we saw to be completely interrelated. And so, where Shlomo HaMelech had stood and had said in public, look, we have achieved absolute peace in Satan. In Satan, Vayakem Adonai Satan l'Shlomo, and so God created the Satan to Shlomo. Hadad et Hadad Adomi, Mizera Hamelach ube'Edom. He was in Edom. Shlomo thought the threat was Mitzrayim. Well, the threat turned out to be not from Mitzrayim, which is on its way out. The threat turned out to be from the very Edom that he thought his own father had finished up Edom. Remember, Vayhi beYod David et Edom. What? But David was back there. Baalot Yoav Sarat Tzava, the Kaberet HaKalalim. Yoav had gone back in the days of David. He went to kill and then buried all those And that was Vayaz David Shem, it says. He made a great name for himself. V'shuvo mi'akot et Adon, because here they said, look at this Ish Chassid, who even buries the ones that he kills, and this becomes now the taste of Milchemet Gog u'Magog, where it says in Yechezkel that everyone will go around, and for months and months, and for years actually, they'll have people searching for the leftovers to bury in of those of Gog u'Magog who came to fight Mashiach. David Bedavka went to do the same thing in the early stages of the victory over Edom. And then Yoav Tzar HaTzavar went to Kaberet HaChalalim and killed all of the Zechorim in Edom. And that, as the Gemara says, that was a horrible thing. It was supposed to be Zecher HaMalek, and he thought it was Zecher HaMalek. Terrible disaster. Ki sheshet chodashim yashav sham Yoav v'chol Yisrael arichrit kol zachar be'edom. He thought he had finished off the problem of Edom. Little did he know that at that time there was a little escape by Yivrach Hadad. And at that time, Hadad was a little boy, and nobody thought that he could ever represent a danger to Yisrael. And indeed, where did they go? To Mitzrayim. Well, after all, Shlomo had Mitzrayim all wrapped up, so all he needed to do was wink to Paro, and everything would be great, because they would be able to control Hadad, wouldn't they? Vayakumu mi Midyan, vayavo Paran, vayikvanashim imam mi Paran, vayavo Mitzrayim o Paro melech Mitzrayim. And Paro Melech Mitzrayim was kind to him. And so Paro indeed gave him enough to build himself up with. And so it looked like it was under control. But what happened was, wasn't only Shlomo who had managed to get under Paro's skin. Hadad also married into Paro. Vayitein lo ishat achot ishta achot tachpenes agvira. This was the major city in Mitzrayim, named after her. Vatele lo achot tachpenes it gnuvat bino. Vatigmaleo tachpenes betoch beit Paro. This was a child that was sort of stolen into the palace, gnuvat they call it, and raised in the palace. Vayignuvat beit Paro betoch bnei Paro, as if he, the child of Hadad, one who had actually grown up as if he were a member of the royal family. And so as soon as David died, Hadad shama b'Mitzrayim ki shechav David im avotav v'chi met Yoav Tzar HaTzavah, the very Yoav who was the nemesis of Edom. Notice the difference. David, it says shechav. Yoav, it says mate. Why the difference? There's a lot of explanations, but one is David left a bend b'mamali mikomo. You don't say shechivah. Yoav, who never left a ben to be mamale mekoav, is considered to be mate. He hadn't dedicated himself to the future. Or simply for a malach, it's not. There's a continuum. It's David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, obviously, the Malchus is Chai. Yoav was an individual. On him, it's Shayach mate. Yomer Hadad El Paro. So Hadad saw this was the time to start planning for the destruction of Yisrael. And he had been waiting all these years. Send me back home. Paro, who was already Mekusharim Shlomo, tried to avoid the inevitable. Paro, why? What do you want to go home? What are you missing? Why would you want to go home? Now, obviously, this was part of Paro's understanding that he's trying to protect Shlomo. What do we need to have a power developing on the other side of Yisrael, to the east and to the south? They were only worried about Mitzrayim. Little did he realize that in the end, Mitzrayim itself would be taken from him, given to a new dynasty, as we'll see. Vayomer, but Hadad insisted. Lo, ki shaleach tishalcheni, I need to go. Vayokem Elohim lo satan, et rezon ben el yada, asher barach, meit hadadezer melech tzava adonav. And there were other satanim. You remember that David thought he had finished off Hadadezer, you know. Everything was handled in there. No. There were escapees from there too. There was Rezon ben Eliada had managed to escape. Vaikbotza lav anashim. Yes, it started small. And he had a small group. A sar gedud he was. Vahi sar gedud. Baharog David otam. At the time that David was busy killing the main people. And then, vayechu damesek, vayishvuba. And gradually gathered together, made themselves kings in Damesek. They all got together, these people. Vayokots b'Yisrael, vayimloch al Aram. And so gradually there developed alternatives to Shlomo. And the moment that there would be a failure in Shlomo's malchus, remember, everything hinged upon absolute control. Since he controlled the trade routes, he was getting richer and richer and richer. All the trade routes went through the areas that were controlled by Shlomo. But the moment that that would fall apart, and this was the next piece in the puzzle, was the malchus Yerovam that would split the malchus of Shlomo. The moment it would fall apart, everything would begin to crumble. V'Yerovam ben Nevat Efrati minat Sreda v'shem imot Siru'a isha almana Eved l'Shlomo v'yorem yad b'melech. There was a man called Yerovam ben Nevat, who was an Efrati, which is that means that Efrat is always a lashon of Hashivut. And Chazal tell us that this individual was initially a great tzaddik, as we'll see in the psukim to come, and that the Malachi Asharet were even a tiny came to tiny Takarosh Baruch Hu. How could you give a guy like this who's going to be making Egle Zahav and turn him into the Melech? And Takarosh Baruch Hu says, at this moment, is this man a tzaddik or not? And they had to admit that he was. Takarosh Baruch Hu said, that's how I judge people. Right now he's a tzaddik, and when it says he was Yorem Keren Yorem Yad Bamelech, what it means is that he was Mochiach the king. Now, the tochacha on the king, as we know, was a function of the way in which he related to Bat Paro. Now, there's been a gradual change in the whole connection that Shlomo HaMelech had to Bat Paro and to women in general. First of all, we found that initially there was no real talk of Avodah Zarah in these women. What's amazing is that the Rambam brings, for apparently no reason, the fact that Hochiach Sofam Al Techilatam, which is remarkable. This is the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says in Hilchot Isrebia, Al Ya'aleh Al Da'atcha Sheshimshon Hamoshiyat Yisrael, Shlomo Melech Yisrael Shenikra Yedid Hashem Nasu Nashim Nochriot B'Goyutan. I mean, it's absurd to think that Shimshon, who was the one who is Moshiach Yisrael, Shlomo HaMelech, who is called the Yedid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's mentioned as the Oyev Hashem, Hashem O'Avo, would go and actually marry a woman who was a Goya. Ela Soda Davar Kachu, Shahamitzvah Nechona, Kishiavo, Ager, Agior, Litgayer. Since, as we've explained, is that we always check first to see whether it's for some ulterior motive, Bikla Momon, or Bishvil Sirara, or for Pachad. So then we will not accept. If we have any reason to believe that there's ulterior motives, we don't want such a person to become a ger. And therefore, says the Rambam, during Kol Yimei David v'Shlomo, lo kiblu beidin gerim. During David's time, since he was an ish milchama, we're afraid shema min ha-pachad, they came, and bimei Shlomo, because of the great tova gdola, shayu ba Yisrael, they wanted to now become part of it. So because of that, we do not want to accept them during those times. Nonetheless, afa piken hayu gerim harbe mitgayrim bifnei David v'Shlomo. There were many people who would come to conservative Beis Dins, and they would accept them bifnei hedyotot. And because of that, beitin hagadol choshishin lehem, since they had been over a giyur, even though it was not an approved giyur, the beitin hagadol didn't want to be docha them completely. So they weren't mekarvin, and they weren't marchik them. They wanted to see what would be. Ad shetira e'achritam. They wanted to see how they behaved over a period of time. And this was the issue, says the Rambam. The fish gier Shlomo Nashim. And Shimshon was also gier. Va'davar yadua, that there was a lot of personal involvement. Shlo chazru elu, elu b'shvil davar. He did not go to Beit Din HaGadol to be begayer then. So we view them as being akum. By the way, this is what the Zohar says was the case by Rut as well. But obviously, Rut had become a giyoret before. What do we think, that the Gedele Hador married Moaviot? They already had gone through giyur. But at that point, at the time that they had gone through giyur, it wasn't an acceptable giyur, Rut and Orpah. Because of the fact that they were marrying very important people that were Ephratim, and there's a remez here in the Yerovam ben Nevat Ephrati, obviously. The whole David and the whole story of Beit Lechem is that it's Ephratim Beit Lechem. So here, because of the fact that he and Shimshon had taken them, Shlop Beit Din, therefore it's Ki'ilu, Chishvana Katuv Ki'ilu Him Akum. The Torah takes the side over here, the Beit Din, and talks about them as if they were Nashim Nochriot. And he loved them as Nashim Nochriot. And then the Rambam adds, Va'od, Shohichu Sofan Al Techilatan. Just as we find by Beit Din HaGadol, that they wanted to give it time and to see how it worked out. And in the end, Shein Avdot Akum, they in the end were found to still Banu Lehem Bamot Ve'Alah Lehem. So therefore, it's the Torah considers it the equivalent of Ki'ilu Hu Banam Shenamar Az Yivne Shlomo Bama. So what this means is, what the Rambam is saying is an amazing thing. He is saying that until time had passed and what had come about had been clear, so that Shlomo should have noted that these women were not Sherot and therefore rejected his own attempt to be Megayer them. That means that the Hayalal Shlomo Ki'ilu Hu Ban'am is really the reason that in the end he should have recognized that it was wrong. And therefore, it's very possible, I'm suggesting, I have a mocha for this, but it's very possible that this is why Malkat Shva didn't stay. Especially if you hold that Shlomo fathered a child with Malkat Shva. So why indeed didn't he make a brit with Malkat Shva? Could be that he felt at this point already that he was at the last stage of noting that this wasn't working. So even though Malkat Shva was obviously the entire Malchut of the Shva, as the Gemara says, she was real Malchut, especially with the Maharsha understands. It doesn't mean she wasn't a woman. It means that she was a woman who embodied the entirety of Shva. It's clear that he took her very, very seriously. I mean, otherwise, for somebody to come from Africa and to say to Shlomo, well, I've got riddles for you. I mean, you should have thrown her out on her face. If Shlomo is responding, this means that this is, as we said, the grand official tour of Malchus to Shlomo. She was the one who was able to define Malchus Shlomo. And nonetheless, he didn't make, apparently, any attempt to interrelate with her on a permanent basis. So that means the problem over here is that he had gotten stuck. I also want to suggest that the building of the house for Bat Paro to get her out of Ir David was a recognition. The way it says in Divrei Hayomim, we don't need a woman like this in a Makom of Kedusha. That's what it says. She should be in the city where the Aron HaBrit, what do you mean the Aron HaBrit was always in the city? It was always in Ir David. So what all of a sudden he says, we want a woman like this around here. So that means that at this stage, he was aware of the fact that his attempt to bring in all of these people into Klal Yisrael was a failure. So that what should have been done, instead of attempting to at least provide some special area, and that was the Milo, as we're about to see in the next pasuk. He filled in the Milo for her. Now, this was an area that was never really part of Yerushalayim. It was open to Olei Regel, that they could come in there. But it was not built into the city. He made it a foreigner area. Thinking that by doing this, what's he supposed to do now? Break the brit that he has with all of these nations that he had by taking these women. So what he did was he was miyachid, a mokum, that this was indeed like foreign soil, like a foreign embassy. And it's no longer for the other Rebellum of Yisrael, but it's for people who are out of Ir David. They don't belong in Ir David. And that explains the difference between the way it's noted here, that he gave her this independence to get her out of here, and in Divrei Hayamim, where it was part of an entire plan that he had to get out these women out of Ir David. But what this means is that it's very similar to the din of an Eishes Yefastor. Yefastor, the original taking of a Yefastor, is exactly the same as the Gemara says here in the Yerushalmi about the taking of Shlomo. The attempt to take Yefastor is an attempt to assimilate the Yom HaSa'ilam into Yisrael. But the marriage, long-term, of a Yefastor is called Hanosei Yefastor. He's going to have a ben that's a ben Sorer Umoreh. And this is what happens over here. The fact that he related to these women and that initially it was a love relationship, that's one thing. But that he kept them on in this fashion where it became now institutionalized, that leads to ben Sorer Umoreh in the sense that Shlomo himself is viewed as to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if he's a ben Sorer Umoreh. That he was sorach, is the language that Chazal uses, that he went sour, even though it's only not to be Kedavid Aviv, but that's the zot that was no longer shalom for Shlomo, and they should have been shalom. Because of that, Yeravam ben Nevat, who had the guts to, unfortunately, publicly denounce the king, and he did this barabi, but the Gemara says that's the reason that Yeravam was wrecked, because of the whole story. Had he been mochiach Shlomo in a way that wouldn't have publicly made an issue out of it, then this whole thing could have worked out, and that it would be clear that there needed to be an alternative to the approach of Shlomo. But because of the fact that he did it berabim, and it was vayorim yad b'melech, he went ahead and he lifted his hand against the king. So it says that he brought in with him to the king, he brought in thousands of people from Ephraim and Manasseh to back him up so that Shlomo wouldn't just knock his head off. So because of that, it was considered to be an actual merida. And the Gemara says that he even took off his tefillin in front of him, which is viewed as a sign of bizayon. So if you cholat tefillah in front of the melech, it's like a true merida l'malchus. Now this Nevat is somebody that has a long history, according to the Gemara. Because Nevat himself is identified with Sheva ben Bichri, is identified with Micha, yet from the time of Mitzrayim. And this Nevat actually thought, that's how the Gemara says he had the mistake of thinking that he was the one that was going to be the Melech, because he saw that simon of Esh. And because of that, he went to be married against Dovin as Sheva ben Bichri. But he was not Roya Yafet, because it was really his son that was going to be the king. But this now integrates the entire problem of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Pesel Micha, back at the time of Shoftim, the other approach of Moshe Rabbeinu in taking Micha out, with the problems that occur later in Malchus Beis Dovin, which is a remarkable story. So that now this Yeravam ben Nevat is the culmination of an entirely different approach in Israel. And that different approach, v'zad avar asher hirim yad b'melech, what he did, and the thing that allowed him to get people backing him in this, is that Shlomo banat hamilo. Shlomo had filled in the area of the milo, which many people suggest is the area between the Mokam HaMikdash, Har HaMoriah, and the city Ir David on the bottom. And in doing so, according to most, although the Malbim learns these are two separate issues, and in doing so, Sagar et Peretz Ir David Avi, he had thereby sealed up the area that was left open in Ir David. So what Chazal say is that he came and tainted to Shlomo, your father left open these areas specifically, Likanis Be'er Olei Regalim, and you filled in this area to be a special place for Bat Paro and the non-Jewish women. Now again, Shlomo may have had specific intentions in doing that, but the fact is that people were outraged over it, and there were a lot of people that were fed up b'chlal with the entire approach of Shlomo, as we'll see in the next parak. The entire approach of Shlomo of this idea of becoming a superpower and investing all of this money and effort and taxes and work in extending the Malchus, and view this as being something that is not really the essence of Yisrael. Now we know the Gemara says that in the end, Chizkio, from the later kings of Yisrael, had a totally different approach. He would barely eat. He had a little bit. He had sort of Yerek. He was the exact opposite of Shlomo, and there were many people that were angry at that. What kind of Malchus is this? What are you? You're supposed to be a Rashim, or you're supposed to be a Melech? Which one are you supposed to be? The specific combination of Adino and the Itzani that we saw that had two completely different personalities. One is the power of the Melech, and the other one that treated him like himself like a worm when it came to learning Torah, that Dovid HaMelech had been zeicha to, are really two different approaches that only Dovid had combined into one individual. So that means when Chazal say, Na'eh aniyuta le'yudai, that to Jews, it's a fantastic marshal. The Gemara says that to Jews, poverty is as beautiful as a beautiful horse with a red halter. That's exactly the sus problem, right? So in other words, the question is it the impact of the sus, like Shlomo HaMelech with his sus? Or for Yisrael, is it the essence of their learning, their intelligence, their philosophy, that can be aimed on its own, not as something that needs to impress the Ummah Sa'ilam with the things that Ummah Sa'ilam are impressed with? Remarkably, Yeravam ben Nevat is about to be discovered by us to be himself a tremendous gadol b'torah, who is mochiach Shlomo with a complete and would have been honest teichacha if he hadn't done it publicly. And that's the lotisa alav chet. That which indicates the depth of your concern for another person in tochacha is the extent at which you want to protect him at the time of the tochacha. And in doing this openly, it's an indication that what it is that you're doing is itself hypocritical. And that's the problem of lotisa alav chet. And so the remazim over here, each one of them, when you say he's an Ephrati, Ushem imot tziru'ah, what a horrible name. Tziru'ah means tzarat. Isha almana. What is that supposed to mean? An isha almana. I mean, that's important. She was an almana at the time that she had him. What are all of these supposed to mean? So Chazal say, so he's called Yeravam because of the fact that he made meriva. So initially he makes a meriva, which was a meriva of the Am against Shlomo. And then the same guy ends up making a meriva between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shem Imo Tzeru'ah indeed is a lashon of Tzara'ah, because it turns HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart away from Yisrael. Isha Almana is the remez to Haitaka Almana, that this was Klal Yisrael. That's what we say in Eicha in the end. And when we say he was an Eved L'Shlomo, Shlomo was the one who was mashlim the Umas Ha'elam to Yisrael. And he now was the one who made them into Galut, where it says Hoglat Shlomim, complete and total Galut, a Galut Shlema. But that means that he actually took the issues that Shlomo HaMelech had been dealing with, and he threw them in his face. And he said, what you are doing is destroying Yisrael. And so because of the fact that he was a Godol B'Yisrael, he's called Ish Efrati, that's in terms of his Chashivut. So Shlomo did these things, and this was Zasher Herim, that's what gave him the power. And according to Chazal, Herim Yad means literally Chalatz Tvilah. How did Yeravam get into a position that he could possibly have managed to be in that type of public position? Shlomo had put him in that position initially. He was an extremely effective individual. Shlomo had seen him when he was a boy. Found him to be very effective, and he put Yeravam in charge of all of the misim of Beit Yosef. Because of the fact that Shlomo himself had put him into that position, he was now able to utilize Beit Yosef against Shlomo. And so it was at that time, and this is one of the rayas that Chazal bring, we're going to have it later in Sanhedrin, that there is an eight that's mizuman lepuranut. There is a time when things go wrong. And that is a further indication to what we suggested earlier. This was the time at which things were going wrong. It was the time that Shlomo, that's why sofana trilatan is a function of time. It was a time in which we expected better, and when things are going wrong, that's when you can strike. So this was an 8 bizuminet of Puranut, and Yeravam was Yatsam Yerushalayim. Yatsam Yerushalayim, say Chazal, means a remez. Yatsam mipitgasha Yerushalayim. It means he rejected Yerushalayim, rejected the concept of Ir David. And he was Dafka here, attempting now to do something that was the opposite of Malchus based on it, and that meant it didn't have to be this way. But this is Lamaisa, the Pasuk is Megala, what it was that was deep down in his soul. Now this Pasuk is an extremely powerful Pasuk that Chazal Doresh and the Gemara in very important ways. So first of all, according to Chazal, Achia HaShiloni was the Rebbe of Yeravam all along. Achia HaShiloni was a very central person in history, because Chazal used Achia HaShiloni as someone whose lifetime was kolel most of the world, in that between Eliyahu HaNavi and Amram, Achia HaShiloni had seen Amram and lived to see Eliyahu. Because we find later on where it is that Aviah kills Achia HaShiloni. And that means that he incorporates much of the Kabbalah of Yisrael. And he's called HaShiloni HaSem Shilo, which means that the Chata'ei Shilo, that were meant to be Mitukanim in Yerushalayim, whatever went wrong there, he was the one to be Tovei Elvanasha Yerushalayim. And to show that Shlomo hadn't asserted control over Yerushalayim any more than Eli had asserted control over Shilo. And he was the one, therefore, that was sent to be the Navi, to tell Yeravam that he was going to be king. And it's here that the Torah shows us the godless of Yeravam. The two of them are alone in the field. What does that mean? Same thing we would say in English. These are the only two guys in the field, meaning you can ignore everybody else. The only two physicists you want are these guys. The rest is kipat hashum. That's how Chazal say it. Everyone else in the world were compared to these people like a thin piece of a garlic skin. They didn't penetrate at all. It was all superficial. These were the serious people. V'humit kaseh b'salmah chadasha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megala to him elements of Maisa Merkava that had never been expressed in history. So Salma, you'll notice the play, of course, going on Shlomo. Salma Chadasha means that they were Mechadesh. First of all, it means a beautiful brand new cape. Says the Gemara, means that there wasn't any dofi, just like in a new garment. You don't find anything wrong. Torato she Yeravam lo haya ba shum dofi. There was no suffix, there was no contradiction. The man was a completely worked out man. And what's the chadasha in terms of the Torah? Chadasha means shchitshu dvorim shelo shama ozen miolam. So this was a chiddush. Now that means that in going out and leaving Shlomo, they were able to be mechadesh. What does that imply? That Shlomo had basically crushed the ability to be mechadesh. Otherwise, why are we now talking about this fantastic idea of chiddush? So as Yeravam represents an ego himself, he represents a youthful new approach to Torah, a youthful new approach to Malchus, and a willingness to stand up for what's right and to rebel against the institutions that Shlomo had created. But it also tells us that that rebellion was a rebellion against the nature of institutionalism, so that Shlomo had frozen Yisrael, and this is part of what he had done in. All of this idea of making a superpower means that we are no longer walking. Who was the greatest walker, Rabbi Yisrael? Micha. His father. No, the idea over here that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to tolerate Avodah Zarah as long as it would allow for the development of his relationship to Yitro. That was Vayoel Ha'ish, Vayoel Moshe, L'Shevet Ha'ish, Vayoel Ha'Levi, L'Shevet Ha'ish. All of that ties into Yeravam as a personality. So that he represented the continued Aliyah of Yisrael. Whereas what Shlomo had done is he took the Mishkan, which is the Makor of Halicha, and he put it underneath the Migdash, so that now it's subsumed by a Migdash. Instead of the Badei Ha'orei being the essence of Halicha, as that's what a Bad is. It's something that you carry with you to move from place to place. He instead had changed the Badei to be Vayarichu HaBadei, so that they serve now a different function by creating the kruvim that were made on the floor of the Migdash, as opposed to being themselves an extension of the Torah of the Aron. And now the Aron became something that was locked in place that was Menik Yisrael. The rebellion against such a thing, Dafka by Yosef, B'nai Yosef, and the nature of Egel, which was the essence of the Mishkan, not of the Migdash. It was the nature of the whole Halicha, Halo Belechtecha Imanu. It's clear that all of these elements are coming together specifically as a Ben Nevat. So all of these things tie together with the Etayi, with what happens to Shlomo and getting locked into his own approaches. And now we're breaking out. And Achia, at that moment when they're alone, Vaitos Achia Basalma Chadasha Asher Alav, Achia grabs again the beged, Vayikra'er Shnima Sarkaraim, and tears it into 12 pieces, or some say into 12 tears, which is 13 pieces, because the idea is the tear, not the piece. So it's to show that this is a kri'ah of the Malchut. It's not just that we show the pieces, it's that we're showing that the Malchut is no longer integrated, can't be held together. And the only way to hold it together was by the sheer force of Shlomo's personality. And that is failing because it's artificial. You can't hold a Malchus together artificially. It's either alive, and what we're witnessing here Kabbalistically is the tearing apart of Yesod and Malchut. Yeravam for Beit Yosef is the element of Yesod, which continues to bring the freshness of the interrelationship of the Am to the Melech. And what was apparently wrong with Shlomo was that that was lost. So that the moment that something is artificially held together by any personality, it's no longer Malchut. And therefore the simen over here was the same simen of the Kriyah Malchut that we saw earlier, because Malchut, after all, is a beged. It's really what it is. It's what provides a interface with the rest of creation. Tore it into pieces. Whose beged did he tear? That's just as unclear as it is by Shmuel and Shaul, interestingly enough. So it's a machlokas. Did he tear his own beged, the Salma Chadasha? Or did he tear the beged that was on Yeravam? So one man Yomar says, obviously it must be his own beged, because the Navi would be in mourning over the breakdown of the Malchus. So this was an act of mourning, not only of tearing the Malucha. Vayomer liYeravam, kach lecha asara kra'im. This means either take 10 pieces, or take 11 pieces, which is 10 tears. Kiko amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, hineni koreat hamamlacha miyad Shlomo. I am tearing up the Malchut from the hands of Shlomo. V'natati lecha et asara hashvatim, and I'm giving you the aseret hashvatim. And only one shevet will remain his. That's either it means that Binyamin is seen as bottle to Yehuda, or it means obviously he's the Melech Yehuda, and we'll give him that one additional shevet. Vashevet echad yelo leman avdi David leman Yerushalayim ayira shebacharti ba mikol shiftei Yisrael. For the sake of David, and once again we see the interrelationship of David Yerushalayim as the era of David, for the sake of Yerushalayim as well, the city that I chose, which was part of the Bechira of Malchut Beit David, I mentioned to you, we say this in our tefillah every day, in Yerushalayim Yircha, it has to be Kisei David Avecha is part of Yerushalayim Yircha. And this is why later we're going to see that the main thing that troubles Yeravam is Yerushalayim. It's why he attempts to stop people from going to Yerushalayim, because he understands that Yerushalayim means Malchus Beis David, and that there's no way that he will be able to hold on to the Malchut as long as Yerushalayim is around. Ya'an asher azavuni, v'yishtachavu la'ashtarot Elohei Tzidonim, la'ashtoret Elohei Tzidonim, l'chmosh Elohei Moab, l'milkom Elohei B'nei Amon, v'lo'ohu b'drachai, la'asot ha'yashar b'inai, v'chukotai, u'mishpatai k'david aviv. Because of what Shlomo had done, and once again, it makes it clear, every single time we talk about these horrible things that Shlomo did, we make it clear that he didn't do that. Because we keep stressing, as great as his father David. I mean, this would have been the total, absolute, polar opposite of anything that David had did. But the point is that he wasn't moche in these women. And note that that's part of the whole idea of a malchut. The greater the malchut becomes, the more deviation it can tolerate. That's the derech of a melech. So as the Gemara puts it, melech u'malketa, it's kalin dat. They have a kaluta dat. The reason they have a kaluta dat is because they can afford more deviation. It doesn't really matter all that much. So that to Shlomo HaMelech, the absurdity of Avodah Zarah was so great, and the recognition of the weakness of humanity was so profound, that in the women doing these kind of things, he viewed it as being small-time stuff. It's small potatoes. So they've got a problem. No, he's got a problem. In the same way that he viewed the possibility of his being drawn to such things as being ridiculous, or his taking the Am back to Mitzrayim and developing any relationship with Mitzrayim, it's ridiculous. Kesev is a hav should make an impact on a man like me. Ridiculous. So the more separate you become as an integrator from the underlying physical issues that drive you and which drive your psychology, the more likely you are to forego any sense of care for the kind of things that a regular person would care about deeply. It's small potatoes to me. I don't really think of it as being important. And this was part of the amazing ripping apart of Yeravam from Shlomo. It's been my shita for many years that Shlomo was actually a Yeravam type character, and that it was only David that saved Shlomo by forcing him to kill Shimi ben Gera. Because the entire Chabura, Shimi ben Gera, when I say Chabura, I don't mean that they were necessarily all living at one time, but there was an entire approach of Achitofel, Shimi ben Gera, Yeravam ben Avad, and all of those like them that show up later, who were the intellectuals, who were the ones who were able to be Machadesh, who were considered to be people who weren't Makbid on mitzvahs. Not Chas v'Shalom that they were Mizalzon to the extent that they wouldn't be Shomer mitzvahs, but the focus was not on Aveda and Asiya. The focus was on understanding. They weren't Anshei Ma'aseh. So that what happens in the end is that Shlomo is Nidgaleh, of also being loose in the sense of being so aware of the underlying issues that he viewed the question of human failure for others as being less important, and the possibility of profound failure for himself as being less important, less dangerous. And it was because of that that he failed. The irony of Yeravam ben Avad, who turns out to be the ultimate intellectual, the ultimate guy. I mean, he's willing even to play games with the ego in order to prove what it is that he holds Shlomo is lacking. So for such the irony of having him be the one who is against Shlomo is remarkable. And that's why the changeover is brought out by Chazal as you're the one who was going out to be Mochiach Shlomo for the minor issue of the way in which his wives were over to Avodah Zarah. We'll see what happens when we put you in a position of power. So he becomes the one who's Machdias Yisrael, who becomes the opposite of everything, literally in Hilchos Teshuva, becomes the opposite of Moshe Rabbeinu. And in terms of being able to be, you could be a tzaddik like Moshe, or a rasha like Yeravam ben Avad, so that you think it's all cut and dry. You could handle it better. You can't handle a damn thing. You can't even handle yourself. Shlomo HaMelech, it's because of the situation in the Malucha that this is what happened to him. Putting you into that situation, you're going to find out what it is that happens to people who are given this type of Nisayon. Okay, so it's an irony in both directions. An irony for Shlomo, an irony for him. And Ya'an Asher Azavuni becomes now on the darg of Shlomo Azavuni. But says Achia to Yeravam, V'loikachet kol ha-mamlacha miyado. I will not take the entire mamlacha from his hands. That sounds like, he's saying, a repetition of the idea of a Shevet Echad. But it's not, because look at the continuation. Ki nasi ashitenu koyim echayav l'man David avdi asher bachartei oto. Because he shall be the Nasi his entire life. So what do you mean? So obviously this is referring to something else. Kol ha-mamlacha means any of the mamlacha. As the Mefarshim explained, the same way we say, v'lo ya'ir kol chamato. What do we mean to say? God should only kill us a little bit? Not a lot. Lo ya'ir kol chamato means any. That's what the meaning of kol means. And here too, it means kol ha-mamlacha means I'm not going to take away any in his lifetime of the mamlacha at all. He is going to be his entire life nasi ashitenu. So the meaning of kol is very different from what we thought. So that's shum davar. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha on Shabbat. Doesn't mean don't do all melacha. It means don't do any melacha. Same thing that it means over here. So I will make him a nasi. That's the point. So he is going to be a melech as a nasi. Nonetheless, there's a difference between a nasi and a melech. One difference is that a nasi doesn't give his child a nasi necessarily. So in other words, he will be a nasi in the sense of a moshe, but he's no longer one who can be morish to his ben, to be a melech like him. But this is part of the issue that we found in the Gemara. Was Shlomo HaMelech a melech at the end of his life or not? Hedyot. Hedyot doesn't mean a nobody. Hedyot could mean nasi, koyim echayav. Obviously, the Gemara doesn't mean that we're going to be doiche the lashon of the pasuk. Koyim echayav means koyim echayav. So it can't be that we mean literally he was not in his place. Now, it must mean the question of whether the integration of his lave and his understanding came back to him at the end of his life or not. But the darga of his malchus was a darga of nisiyut. That will be to him koyim echayav. And that will never be given to you. And that will be Laman David Avdi Asher Bachartei Oto, Asher Shamar Mitzvotai V'chukotai. So he will be, because of what I gave David, a melech all of his life. V'lakachtei ha-melucha miyad b'no. Only after his death will the malchut be taken from his son. And at that time, unetati alecha et aseret ha-shvatim, I will give you then the 10 shvatim, v'livno etin shevet echad, and will give to his son one shevet, Laman heyot nir leDavid Avdi, Kol hayamim lefanai beYerushalayim, ha'ir asher bachartei li lasum shmi sham. In order that that malchut will remain a near. Now, near can mean different things. Near could be a lashon of ner, as some suggest, so it's like a continued shining. Near can be a lashon, says Rashi, of memshala, a lashon of a burden, an ol. Near can mean nir lechem nir. It can mean the preparation of a field. So that in a sense, this is a remez to the preparations for the Hagzarat HaMalchut to David. So that this is the way in which, in the end, at the time of Mashiach, it will be restored to him entirely. Because they're still working on the field of Malchut. V'otcha ekach umalachta b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. You I will take, and you, and this is remarkable, that's the language that Avner used when he was bringing the Malchus to David. And we pointed out then, David didn't have a Tavat Nafshecha to be a Melech. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using the Lashon for those who would take the Malchut from Beit David, which means that he indeed had a Ta'ava to be Molech. That exposes a fatal flaw. If you desire to be a Melech, you're already not a Melech. Because the idea of a Melech is that let lemi garme klum. There's nothing of his own in the Malchut. And therefore, this itself exposes the weakest aspect of what was being given to Yeravam ben Nevat. There's even a beautiful pshat by the Malbim who says that you need to first be a Melech on yourself. So if you can be a Melech, meaning you can control your desires and you think that Shlomo's got a problem, let's watch you control your desires. The way we said this was the whole point of Avishag HaShunami, serving as the transference of the Malchus to Shlomo. And it's that which enabled Shlomo to take all of these women, in that he was a Moshel, indeed, on his own Ta'avah. Let's see you be Moshel on yourself. And then, Im Timloch, if you'll be Malach, this had a marvelment. If Malach, the B'chol HaShet Aven Avshecha, if you can be molech on your own needs and desires, then vayita melech Yisrael. Beautiful remnant. Then you can be a king over Yisrael. V'aya im tishmat kol asher atzavecha. If indeed you will accept everything that I'm mitzavei you. V'halachta bidrachai. And you will walk in my paths. V'asita hayashar beinai. Do what is right in my eyes. L'shmor chukotai u'mitzvotai. Kasher asa David avdi. And you can handle it the way David did. Then va'yiti imach, I will be with you. Uvaniti lecha bayit ne'eman, kasher vaniti leDavid. I will give you a bayit ne'eman as I did to David. V'natati lecha et Yisrael. V'anet zera David, and I will hurt, pain, torture the children of David. Laman zot, because of what has been done now by Shlomo. But I'm warning you, ach lo chol hayamim. It's not going to be forever. So then what does Bayit Ne'eman, Asher Baniti L'David, which was forever? So how can you say, I will make you a Bayit Ne'eman? Say Chazal in the Seder Eilam, specifically. What this means is that Yeravam ben Nevat was given 36 years, and only 36 years, to be king. Exactly the same way that David was given 36 years. How was David given 36 years? Remarkable, remarkable. Seder Olam. We know that in Yerushalayim he was only Melech for 33 years. So where did he get 36 years? He was not Melech al Kol Yisrael for 40 years. Says the Seder Olam, the first 3 years of the Malchus of Shlomo, before he took Bat Paro, are the 3 years that are being included here. Those are 36 years of a true Malchus of Kol Yisrael, before there was a Gezerah that the Malchus would be split. And if Yeravam had not been Chote, the Malchus would have been his for 36 years. 33 for him, and 3 for his son. And then it would have been a proper Malchut. And what happened was that it all went sour. Because here, Va'aned Zera David, means, connected those 36 years, that Shlomo HaMelech ended up being with Bat Paro, and those became now the 36 years that would be given. It works out on both ends. Because he married now Bat Paro in that fourth year that he started making the Beit HaMikdash, which leaves him 36 years that he was married to Bat Paro. That's because his entire Malchut, as we'll see in a moment, was 40 years. Those 36 years connected the marriage to Bat Paro, which failed, will be given over to Yeravam ben Nevat. Those years should have ended very, very quickly, and instead continued on because, as we'll see, of the Chata'im, and this, it's unbelievable how it's brought out in the Pasuk. It should have ended at the time of the 16th year of Asa. This turns out to be 36 years later. Now what happens in the 16th year of Asa is that Asa tries to buy the Satan of Shlomo, which is the king of Aram at the time, and he sends money to him instead of being Sermech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Divrei HaYamim, it says an impossible thing. It says that that took place in the 36th year of Malchut Asa, which, as we will see, is impossible. It's obviously wrong. And therefore, because it says over there that that's the 36th year Baasha built the Ramah. And the problem is that it was already back in the 16th year of, I mean, the 26th year of Asa. Baasha had been buried. So it doesn't make sense. Therefore, Rashi says that's exactly the point over here. The 36th year that is being referenced of Asa is the 36th year of Yeravam, meaning the period it was really the 16th year. The time at which the 36 years of the Gezerah, Keneged Malchus Beis David, should have come to an end, and didn't come to an end because of the way that he continued acting in the way that Shlomo had acted. But that was also the Kilkel of Yeravam, who attempted to hold on to the Malchut, and instead of accepting the Gezerah of Achiyah Shilami, and to recognize that his entire function was to be a tikkun for what had gone wrong in Shlomo, was Mosif to do even worse. And in doing so, ended up being a Yeravam, one who was Meiriv. It was, the Chazal put it even in a deeper way. He screwed the Am. Yarav means Rovea, they destroyed Yisrael. By taking what should have been Tikkun, in his own great screaming out at Shlomo, how could you do this? And how could Bat Shlomo be more important to you than the Beit HaMikdash? And that's obviously the reference back to the horrible story of what it was that Bat Paro had done at the morning of the Chinuch of the Beit HaMikdash, that she had set up the whole chambers, the bed chambers of the king, to fool him into thinking that it was still night when it was really morning. Oh, complicated thing that she did over there to make it look like stars were shining outside. And she kept him in bed until the fourth hour of the day, which is the remez that we find that the Tomid was Nikrav Ba'ar Basha'ot. All of Klal Yisrael is waiting for the Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech doesn't show up. It was a horrible embarrassment. And it's there, from there, that things started to go sour. And that itself becomes now, forget about Bat Paro, he's the one that actually is Machnes the Egel, essentially, back into the Beit HaMikdash. So the irony of the entire story from beginning to end, a story in which everybody's shouting about Shlomo as worshipping all these Avodah Zarahs, the Tikkun that everybody has in mind, the great Tikkun, is the real Avodah Zarah for Yisrael, which is what it was that the Shvatim, who wanted to sell Yosef, get rid of Yosef, were afraid of all along. This Yeravam came from that Yosef, and that's what it was that they tied it. This is the guy who's going to drag all of Klal Yisrael, the Baal HaChalomot, the great dreams of Yosef, end up in Yeravam ben Nevat. So this goes all the way back to the whole stories we saw, Hiram, Adulam, the break-off of Yehuda from Yosef, the re-break that actually takes place, amazingly, as we'll see, in the same city where Yosef was sold, where the brothers wanted to destroy Yosef, where in the end the Malchus is split. It all comes back to Shechem, which goes back to the original breakdown with Bnei Yaakov and Bnei Yosef, as we'll see. So there are very profound historical currents that are taking place here, historical currents that become the same 36 candles of Hanukkah that's meant to be Metakein, the 218, that's the Haftorah that we read at Hanukkah time, which is in the end the Tikkun of these 36 years that ended up supposedly a Tikkun for the Aragonas, which shined for those 36 hours. That's why we have the 36 Tzadikim, right? The Roya Pnei Hashchina. And that ended up being a kilkul in Yeravam instead of a tikkun in Yeravam. A tremendous, tremendous tragedy that is based on a misreading of Shlomo, you understand? Everybody who reads this parak and who accuses Shlomo of being the one who is Oved Avodah Zarah, instead of being aimed on the subtleties and on the godless of the Malchus, and on how deeply it has to be related to the Yesod that Yeravam was supposed to provide, is guilty of providing the background for exactly what goes wrong in Yeravam. And this is the mice of what Chazal say back to the Shvatim, who say, the Baal HaChalomot is coming. This is the guy who's going to lead us to the Baal. And that comeback is, well, maybe he'll lead you to the Baal, but who are the guys that are going to be willing to worship the Baal? That's you idiots, not the people who understand things. And so, Vayevakesh, after Shlomo sees what's happening, he wants to kill Yeravam, recognizing the danger. And Yeravam was actually at a dinner of a morid. So Vayevakesh Shlomo la'amit et Yeravam, and remarkably, Vayokom Yeravam vayivrach Mitzrayim el Shishak melech Mitzrayim. Shishak was the name of a completely new, he's no longer Paro. He set up a new dynasty, which was against the Paro. And because of that, was an enemy of Shlomo. So here Shlomo had invested his whole life and his whole failure into a relationship with a Paro who ended up not being there for him at all. And instead, the same Mitzrayim that he had invested in became the makor of the backing for Yeravam and the merida against Malchus Beis David. The ironies pile one on each other. Vayhi b'Mitzrayim ad mot Shlomo, and he needed only to wait out Shlomo's life. Yeah, very much so. It goes all the way back to the Yosef story. The details of Shlomo, everything that he had done, the chokhmah of Shlomo. Halo heim mikituvim al sefer divrei Shlomo. That perhaps we can come to understand from Shlomo's own writings. According to one Ma'adi Omar, all were written only at the end of his life, because shorta alav ruach hakodesh. And he wrote, according to one Ma'adi Omar, all three svarim, Shir HaShirim, and Mishlei and Kohelet. According to other Ma'adi Omar, they represent different phases and stages of Shlomo HaMelech's life. Al Kol Yisrael, as opposed to David, who was Molech Arba'im Shana, but wasn't Molech Al Kol Yisrael Arba'im Shana, were Arba'im Shana. Vayishkav Shlomo im Avotav, and so Shlomo was